Fire the spoiler horn, Mike, later in editing. He will do, and he's doing it right now, so here it goes. Avengers Infinity War, Jason. I saw it on Saturday. You saw it... When did you see the movie? Friday?
I saw it Thursday night.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah, my big daughter demanded that we see it on opening night. She had demanded it, and so we found a way to make it work because I was not going to turn down a teenager actually wanting to watch a superhero movie. I want to approve and encourage those sorts of feelings, and then, you know, presumably she would be seeing it with her parents, which again, I want to encourage or take advantage of any time she's willing to be around us. So we did. We went on Thursday.
That's only going to decline, unfortunately.
Oh, it's already. Oh man, it's already declined so much. So yes, so we did. We did go on Thursday evening, and saw the movie.
There is an Incomparable Flashcast, which went up last night. Incomparable episode 404, which just makes me laugh every time I see it. I haven't listened to it because I want the one-on-one Snell opinion. So I wait until afterwards.
Okay.
I will mention before we get into talking about our thoughts on the movie itself, it's breaking all records right now. It had a $250 million opening weekend in the US, which beats The Force Awakens.
Yep.
I'm expecting, along with everybody else probably, that it will beat Force Awakens in everything and just become the best movie of all time in box office sales. Which makes sense, right? Like, it feels like the last 10 years would tell you that, yes, this should be the case, right? Like, Marvel have built this empire, which is, in some ways, culminating with this and then the next movie, which is coming out, what is it, in May? Like, it's basically a year from now. It comes out in 2019. Yeah. 'Cause it's kind of like a two-parter, but not a two-parter in a way, right? Like, the story continues. I really like that no plot details, even the name, is not out for that movie yet. Like, Marvel are super committed to keeping the end of Infinity War secret, and they're showing that, right? Like, they do not want people to know what happens at the end of this movie, to the point that they have a movie coming out in a year that they haven't even told us what the name is yet. Like, they're very serious about this, and I understand, because if you spent 10 years working on something, like, you know, I mean, they haven't worked on this movie for 10 years, but it's this overall franchise, which after next year apparently is going to change, right? Like, in some ways, my expectation is new actors for some roles, right? And they do,
or they're going to retire some roles, right? They'll kill some people off, mm-hmm. and then they will continue with
newer crop of stars.
With a new set of heroes. At some point, they will probably have to either bring in, like, here's the new whoever,
right?
But,
which works though, right? Because it's like, unlike I think a lot of these types of things, it makes so much sense in comic books, because that's what happens in comic books, right? There becomes a new Thor, like, it is a new person who becomes the superhero. So, like, it's totally in canon for them to be like, oh, Tony Stark is dead, but here's Mary Sue, she is the new Iron Person. Right, like,
yes.
You
well,
know,
no,
like,
they in fact,
that.
They have not only do they have James Rhodes, who's War Machine, who was sometimes Iron Man, but they have what is it? Oh, her name is Riri something or other, and she's Ironheart, but she's basically a teenager who is like Tony Stark's successor and takes, you know, and she's got her own flying
Ironheart
suit and stuff.
So I like that.
Yeah,
I like that.
Yeah,
I'm not.
They got options.
I'm not very up to date on what happens, like, in comic
Riri
books
Williams
anymore.
Is her name. It's a relatively recent thing that they did.
Okay,
and she's
that's probably why I don't know.
She's an African American from a girl from Detroit, I want to say, somewhere in the Midwest, and designs her own suit and gets, like, advice from Tony Stark's people and stuff, and kind of becomes like a substitute Iron Person.
So yeah,
there's,
I think that
they
that's
got lots
that
of
kind
options,
of
and
it,
it's
happen.
Yeah, and at some point they'll, you know, they'll just kind of go away, and then there'll be a, you know, a future where they say, well, we're doing a new Iron Man movie with a new Iron Man. But I think that they got a long way to go before they get there.
So one of the big questions around this movie was, how on earth do you deal with so many A-listers in one movie? Like, and I think that on the whole, they did a pretty good job. Now, I saw it with Adina, who has only very recently become interested in these movies. So, like, there are so many characters where she's like, who is that? right? Like, because she has no idea. She had no idea Benedict Cumberbatch was going to be in this movie, right? Like, she has no idea who Doctor Strange is, right? Like, she just doesn't know that character. But I think that they did. I think they did a pretty decent job of giving you all you needed to know about a specific character without a ton of exposition. And one of the ways they did this was like Tony Stark meets Doctor Strange for the first time, right? And it's like, well, that is actually a very good way of dealing with that. Like, Tony Stark doesn't know who he is because I think maybe Doctor Strange isn't as popular, right? Like, I love that movie, but I don't think it was like, well, it definitely wasn't like Black Panther, right?
Right.
You know, like, I think it did pretty well, but like I don't really think it was a huge success. So I think in the places that they needed to, they filled in more information about either a superhero who isn't so well known. Like, they don't bother with Spider-Man, right? Like, you get it. Like, you haven't need to have seen the movie. You just know who that is. But, and then, like, they didn't really bother with Black Panther because everybody saw that movie, right? Like, we're good. Like, everyone knows about that now. So, like, I think that where they needed to, they did a good job. And I think that on the whole, they paired people up well. And I think that they did a pretty good job of dealing with a mammoth cast. Do you agree?
Yeah, I agree. I think that... I remember when the Avengers came out and our thought was like, how are they going to put seven different superheroes in the same movie and have it make sense? That's asking too much to bring all these franchises together with this movie that is meant to join them all. And I remember walking out of the Avengers thinking, wow, that was like way better than given how hard it was, because they had the mandate of like, you will bring all these characters together, that they managed to find a way to have it work. Well, this is like 10 times as difficult. And I think they did. My reaction is the same, which is I think they found a way to do it where it's not nonsensical. And in this case, what they did was they split the story up into little parts, so it felt like a Game of Thrones episode where you're just kind of cycling through four different storylines. And they took a lot of characters and didn't give them a lot to do and sort of had them in the climax with a promise that they will appear, because I read a couple articles that say this, that they the characters that you thought weren't in this movie a lot, that's because they're actually going to be in the next one. and they kind of like balanced it out.
Because like, who's left?
They're the ones who survive the end of the movie. So that's one of the little cheats, is sort of like, well, yeah, some of these characters really kind of show up toward the end. They're in a scene before that or two scenes, but they show up at the end and they fight in the big fight, and you can say that they're there. But then there are the ones that it spends a little more time with, and they're bouncing off of each other in unusual ways. So you put Spider-Man, Tony Stark, and Doctor Strange together, and that is fun. And you put Thor with the Guardians of the Galaxy, and that is fun.
Which was just great. Like, like Thor and like Drax. It's funny how their characters overlap in certain ways. That was really good. And then just like Star-Lord trying to like be Thor. I think it was my favorite part of the whole movie was when those two entities met, like when the Guardians of the Galaxy and Thor met. Like, that whole scene was hilarious. Like, it was so good. It was, I think, everything I liked about both of those movies, in that they are kind of silly. Like, the characters are silly, but not in a like wacky way. You know, like the way they talk is really funny and the way they interacted. I really enjoyed that. And I also liked the team up of Thor and Rocket Raccoon. Like, I thought that they worked
so
really well together as well. Like, there were a lot of
Noble Rabbit.
Yeah, it was very like, you know, in Groot, like Groot, teenage Groot is hilarious, right? Like, I think that they did a good job with that. Do you know why like Ant-Man wasn't in this movie? Like, they referenced the fact that he decided that he didn't want to be involved post...
Ant-Man's not in this movie because there's an Ant-Man movie coming out this summer.
Okay.
And I believe, like, the way that these movies were produced, Ant-Man and Black Panther were both actually written after this movie was written. So there was some degree where with Ant-Man, they basically said, let's just leave our hands off of Ant-Man because Ant-Man and the Wasp is coming out this summer. And it's presumably set before this movie.
Yes.
So the idea there is just like, let's get him out of the way of this big story because he's got a movie coming. And we don't want to confuse people with like, well, wait, what about Ant-Man in the last movie? They're like, no, he's just not in that movie. Nobody's going to be confused. Everybody in this movie is just in this movie and not in Avengers. It's just in Ant-Man. And then Captain Marvel is the same way. There's one other movie between now and the next Avengers movie, the sequel to this one, and that's Captain Marvel. And by all accounts, that's set in the 90s. So that's a flashback yes. movie. So that'll set up Captain Marvel, who presumably will appear in the next Avengers movie, and we'll know who she is because we will have met her. It's teased at the end of this movie.
Yes, okay. I just wanted to check that you knew that.
Yeah, but it's very carefully, I think, structured where the next two Marvel movies don't address what happens at the end of this movie so that this movie can then conclude in next May.
So, like, we may see Ant-Man in the next Avengers movie, maybe.
Maybe. Or maybe not. And if not, then this is my theory. My theory is that there will be a post-credit sequence in Ant-Man that addresses what happens in this movie. So that you watch Ant-Man and you're like, oh, this happens before the other movie, it's fine. And then at the end you'll be like, oh, and there the other movie happened. And now we wonder about the characters in the Ant-Man movie and what happened to them too.
Right.
Which will again continue. And then presumably the Captain Marvel movie will have an end credits tag where she gets the beeper from Nick Fury.
Uh-huh.
And then they'll go into the next movie. So I think it's all been structured that way.
What do you think about Marvel's new strategy of two movies in 2 months?
I don't know. I mean, they want to do... It's interesting. I wonder about their releases. Like Black Panther, they released so early. And then this movie, they really released early. This is, you know, it used to be these were deep in the summer, and the summer just keeps creeping forward to now it's in late April, and Black Panther came out in February, and they still have Ant-Man and the Wasp to come, and then nothing in...
Because Captain Marvel is due for March, and then the next Avengers movie is due for May, right? So it's like the same thing again.
It depends. I don't know. I mean, release dates have to do with what the competition is and when they think they can make their money. I think what Marvel's shown is they can make their money anytime. So
honestly, I think at this point, it's just Disney pacing themselves out, right?
That could be.
You know, they probably... I'm expecting that they brought the Avengers forward because of Solo. And
yeah,
they wanted a bit of space between those.
That may be. Remember, Solo was originally supposed to be later,
yeah.
I think. Or no, it moved. No, the last Star Wars movie moved later, and Solo stayed put. So it's this Star Wars movie that's not coming out at Christmas. I'm a little surprised that they didn't slot the next Avengers movie to come out this winter, because they shot it all together. So I'm a little surprised that they're making us wait a year and that they didn't put out like part two in November or something like that.
Or even like leave this one to December and keep the other one at May, right? Like to make them shorter together. Knowing it was a two-parter, I was surprised when I looked it up after the movie and was like, oh, it's a year. Like that was a surprise to me. I've thought that we were going to get maybe, because I was thinking, well, there isn't a Star Wars at Christmas. So I assumed that there would be the second Avengers movie at Christmas.
Harry Potter was about 6 or 7 months between part 1 and part 2 of
Deathly
Hallows.
And like the Hunger Games, I think, was pretty similar too. Like I think a lot of the movies where they do them in these distinct, like two-parters, they pull them a little bit closer together. What did you think of the story overall? Like, did you find it simple to follow? Did you kind of have a grasp of what everything was going on?
Yeah.
Because it's a lot of intermingling stories.
I think they kept it simple. The plot is relatively simple because they set people on these individual paths and they all have kind of something they're trying to do and you follow them. So I think that's easier to track. The joy of it is in the details, right? The dialogue, there are a lot of really funny lines where characters are behaving in ways that are familiar to us as people who've watched Marvel movies before. We know, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy and they behave this way, and we know Thor, he behaves this way. We know how Spider-Man and Iron Man work. And so that leads to a lot of funny dialogue, but they're also just fairly straightforward in terms of like Thor and Rocket are going to go find the forger of the great weapons, and Doctor Strange is being rescued by Iron Man and Spider-Man, and then they they sort of change their destination. And, you know, the rest of them are like, let's meet in Wakanda because they're trying to kill the Vision. And you've got your, and then the other, obviously other Guardians are going to find the gem that Thanos has already taken. And so you get your little pieces of what's going on. And I felt they were, as somebody who watches Game of Thrones, where they take the four storylines and run them in parallel all the time, that's what episodes of Game of Thrones are like. It didn't bother me. I felt like this is not a movie in some ways. It's something different. It is a continuation of an ongoing storyline. It's 2.5 hours long. Yep. In a different world with different economics, potentially this is a TV show, or it's a series of movies with the individual storylines, but instead they just kind of have to tell this whole story in a load or two loads. And so they just kind of jam it all in together. So I thought it was clear enough that you could keep track of, like, oh, these people are doing this, these people are doing this. We can move between them fairly seamlessly. And I thought they handled that well. I thought that in the end, like, Thanos is, his goals are simplified in some ways, but you know what? He's a comic book supervillain. They do as much as they can to make him a character you feel has some depth, especially in his feelings for Gamora. And that's useful, but his overarching plan is really just, I'm going to get these stones, I'm going to get the MacGuffin, and then I'm going to kill everyone, or half of everyone. And he's got a speech, and you understand why he's motivated to do that, even though if you're all powerful, you could also just make more food for everybody. You wouldn't necessarily have to kill people, but he's a death cultist, so mm-hmm. Thanos is going to Thanos. But it was clear enough. Like, again, I really appreciate the thought that went into this story. There are a few places where they kind of like go, look over there, right? Like, there's something that's really expedient, but mostly they know, they're very careful to get everybody on the same page, moving in the right direction, tell enough of the villain so you understand his motivation, so that by the time you get to the end, you understand what you're seeing. And I think they did a pretty good job with all of that. My only real complaint is that I thought the Wakanda fight scene was a little bit too over the top, in that they're like
the alien dog thing.
The space, totally, we called them on the Incomparable, we called them like space orcs, because it's basically a Lord of the Rings fight at that point. There's just a giant horde of orcs that come through the force field, and even though you've got War Machine capable of bombing them all, everybody sort of immediately goes to hand-to-hand combat, because that's what the movie wants you to see, is cool fight scenes involving these people on the ground.
Yeah.
But it felt a little too Star Wars Episode One to me. I didn't really love that part of it. Even though there's some good stuff in there, it felt like unnecessary to have it be on that scale at the end of the movie.
I think the problem was that if they were ever going to go to Wakanda, they needed an army to fight, because Wakanda has an army. Right, like, you couldn't just have the two aliens arrive, because the Wakandan army would just overwhelm them. Like, there had to be something.
I was kind of hoping that, like, the Wakandan army would defend against the space orcs or whatever, while the superpowered children of Thanos, like, did their direct assault on where they were keeping the Vision. And that's not really what we got. You know, they could have waved it away a little bit more. It just felt to me like something that they felt was obligatory. Like, this is the obligatory giant climactic fight that's a spectacle, that's got lots of different moving parts. It is their way of getting those characters who did not get a lot of screen time to at least get their little fight moment or laugh moment. There's the great moment where Groot says, "I am Groot," and Captain America says, "I am Steve Rogers."
Yeah,
it's good. Like, very
I'm
nice.
I'm pleased
Thank
they took
you.
A break in the Helpful. Fighting to give me that moment, because I enjoyed it. It seemed completely unnecessary, but I loved it.
But it was very funny, yeah.
This whole movie builds to the ending, right? Like, the whole thing is based around this ending where all of a sudden half of the world's population, I assume, but all we see is half of the superheroes.
Right.
Disappear.
But it's half of the universe just dissolve. Yeah.
So, I mean, of course there are myriad ways that this could be reversed in the next movie. Like, that's what we all assume the next movie is about, is like the way that you reverse this, because Spider-Man is dead, and I really doubt Spider-Man won't
Spider-Man, all the Guardians of the Galaxy, and Black Panther are all dead. Yeah. That was the moment I saw a piece today by the science fiction writer John Scalzi where he was complaining that the movie's impact is undercut by the fact that we know commercially these characters aren't going to stay dead. Yeah. I think this was a deliberate attempt by the screenwriters to show you, to make you know that they're not going to stay dead by choosing some of the highest profile characters. And maybe that's me reading too much into it, but like,
I think that's
choosing
the
highest. When Spider-Man, like, they could have kept Spider-Man around other than the fact that they probably don't want him in the next movie. That's what the other thing that's going on here. The people who get dissolved at the end of this movie, one of the reasons is because those aren't characters they want in the next movie. You'll notice all the original Avengers are alive because they want that last Avengers movie to really be about the Avengers.
The Avengers. Yeah. The Avengers. Just saving the day, probably,
and maybe sacrificing
some of
themselves.
To bring them
right
back.
But I read that Black Panther and Spider-Man and all that is also the movie saying, because look, the key moment in this movie is when Doctor Strange says, oh, I just went in time and looked at all the possible futures and there's only one where we win. And then at some point he says to Tony, and he says, and here, Thanos, you can have the time gem. And he says to Tony, it had to be this way before he dissolves. That is the movie saying, this is all going, Doctor Strange saw the way they win.
He has a plan.
And he has steered them to that reality, and that, and they are going to win. The question is how, who will pay? But it's very clear from that and the fact that these are these high profile characters that we've just gotten to know that are not going to go out by dissolving that, you know, so I was okay with it. I get if you're somebody who is not thinking on that level and you're just purely in that moment that it's super sad. Cause like that scene where Spider-Man is telling Tony that, you know, he doesn't want to go. He's just a kid under Tony's supervision and responsibility. And he dissolves, right? It's a really tough scene, but at the same time, And losing Black Panther, same way, losing T'Challa is very sad, except that really it's like, yeah, but in fact, I chuckled a little bit because I was like, oh, okay, you're not even going to try to convince us that these are permanent. You're just going to pick them all off. And as a viewer who knows a little bit about how successful these characters are, I was like, oh, all right. You know, I kind of tip my cap at that. Like, I appreciate that you're not even trying to convince us that, like, oh, no, most of the Guardians of the Galaxy are dead. Because once you kill off Black Panther and Spider-Man, we know you're not serious.
Were there any other emotional moments for you? I would say for me, when Thanos stabs Tony Stark, that really got me. Because I went into this movie expecting Iron Man would die.
That feels like real. That feels like real Jeopardy. That feels like real Jeopardy there. And I think that there are a lot of things that happen before Thanos snaps his fingers that will not be undone. I think there will be deaths that, like Loki is a good example where,
Gamora.
In fact, they hang a lantern on it where Thor says, you know, he's died before and come back, but I think it's different this time.
Yeah, Loki's gone.
Gamora, maybe, gone. Although there's an argument to be made that she's in the Soul Gem. And so that she could potentially be brought back out of that.
Because it's like an exchange. If they destroy the Soul Gem, she might come back. Right.
Okay. Right. Or somebody else goes in, or who knows what it is. In the comics, the Soul Gem is its own little world, but who knows what they'll do in the movies.
I thought that they were writing her out because of Avatar. She's in Avatar, right?
Yeah, she was in I don't know if she's in all the Avatar movies that they're making now. Okay. It's possible. That would be a tough... Guardians of the Galaxy will not be as good if Gamora's not in it, though.
I agree with that
relationship with Peter Quill is important to that series. So we'll see. I honestly don't know that one. But I have questions about those, and I do believe that some people are going to sacrifice themselves in the next movie, permanent death kind of thing, in order to bring back the universe. Those
but
are what the stakes are.
It's more likely the people that we've seen for the last 10 years, right? So we'll probably lose
exactly.
Tony Stark. We'll probably lose Steve Rogers. I don't think it's going to be all of them, though. I think that would be really weird. I think a couple of those characters might stick around. You know,
I don't think the Hulk is going away.
Yep.
But, you know, it's possible, like, the Black Widow will go away. Hawkeye, everybody wants to kill Hawkeye because he's not that interesting.
Oh, he wasn't
but I do
even
think
in the movie, right? Yeah, he was the other one.
Yeah, at its core, it's about Steve and Tony. And those guys have been making these movies a long time. So probably they're going to get some resolution of their stories one way or another in this as sacrifices. Or they're going to go off and you'll be like, we've learned all we need to know about that guy. We're not going to see that guy again.
I also believe that they're like playing in the press with this. So there is a term in professional wrestling called kayfabe, where you build a fake story in the real world to support the stories that are happening on TV.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of discussions, everyone's like, oh, well, you know, I saw the interview with Chris, what's his name?
Not Evans. Helmsworth,
Evans. And he's like, oh, I'm not going to do these movies anymore. I feel like you could quite easily say that, even if you have a contract that states otherwise, right? Like, to build the idea of his character's going to die.
Yeah, I'm surprised that they don't have Chadwick Boseman out there saying, yep, there'll never be another Black Panther movie because I'm dead now.
Single tear, like, it was so good for one movie, and but it's unfortunately...
It's too bad. We can't.
I have no contract. Marvel hate me. Yeah, I upset
it's,
just an
a, it's a shame. They really regret it now, but they had to do it, right? It's like, that's no, that's not. Man. That's exactly right. So I think that is what's going on. I think once enough time passes that people know what happens in this movie, because right now we're still clearly in the spoiler zone, that we will start to get that next groundswell of like, well, what does happen next, and did you notice this, and what's going to go on with this, and they will start that, but they're not at that point yet because they want everybody to experience this kind of shocking ending. And it was very affecting, like Jamie was crying in the car. Mm-hmm. She was crying in the theater and crying in the car on the way home, was very upset. And the next day she was still very upset about everybody dying.
I love that she feels that much about these characters.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Isn't that great?
I think that's really great. I think that's awesome. You did good there, Jason.
And I don't think it's going to be, and people are like, oh, well, it's a cheat because they can bring everyone back. It's like, yeah, but the thing is, again, I think it's clear that they're going to have the ability to bring people back. This movie, as well as the Doctor Strange movie, show that winding time backward is a thing that you can do. This movie goes to the trouble of actually showing that you can do that to remind you that that's a thing in this universe. So very clearly they're going to find a way to wind time back and undo the very end of this movie. The question is going to be at what cost? And I think that's an interesting question. And I think that will lead to more emotional moments and more sacrifices and more death and sadness that will, and goodbyes to characters mm-hmm. that we know.
Yeah. My expectation is like they wind it back to what we just saw, right? Like they go on a big quest to find Thanos and somehow get the gauntlet from him or whatever. Like maybe Thor, we've seen Thor can kill him if he tries hard enough. He can kill him, right? Thor is the one. I really like that they chose that as well, because like Thor is the only conceivable character at full power, right? That has been built over this period of time that could be in a position to do this.
Well, like, and he's got like the magic in the hole. Magic enhanced godlike kind of capability, right?
So it's of course, right? Like, of course you can.
Thanos says you should have gone for the head, so maybe he goes for the head next
time. That's it, right? Like, so I assume he will do that, but that battle to get, like, when they redo the battle, right? When he comes in and they're trying to get rid of Vision, the way that they fight that scene will result in the deaths in combat of specific characters is the way that I expect it will happen.
I think it will be even more kind of more than that. I think there will be like prices to pay. Like the Soul Gem is a good example where you have to make a sacrifice to get the Soul Gem, right?
Like that. So like the Doctor Strange mystical land, right? Like someone makes, like, what is the character in Spider-Man? Is it Mother M? Like in the, what is that, like that zone that he goes to sometimes and he's like hanging out in this like other reality.
I know what you mean. The web world,
kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like they might start to dabble with stuff like that maybe. I don't know, right? Like, because you, like these characters go there, they make the sacrifice for the other characters, which allows them to right? Like,
yeah, exactly. And that's the joy of this. And that's why I thought that this was a great movie and I thought that it had a great ending. Like, I like having the bad guy win one time, because you're like, oh my god, you went against our expectations, which
point.
Is that you
the
would
bad guy
you would
won. You, that never happens.
The bad guy wins. The last shot is that the bad guy is sitting down looking at the sunrise
chilling.
And smiling because
he
killed half the universe.
His happy ending, like he asked for that earlier in the movie. All I want is to sit and watch the sunrise knowing I've done my thing, and he got that.
And he gets it, right? So the second movie, the question there is then the joy is in finding out how they undo what happened. Mm-hmm. And that, of course, because it's just like, if you think it's a cheat, I mean, like a TV show where the lead character is put in jeopardy, it's like, they're not going to die, right? You know, they're not going to die. The fun, the entertainment is in how they get out of it. Well, that's what the case is with this movie and the next one, is how do they get out of this one? And the sacrifices, I think the other good thing about it is the scale is so huge. It's half of the living creatures in the universe have died, right? That was what he did. So your sacrifice is not just for your friends. It's not like, well, you know, I want to bring Doctor Strange back. I want to bring Spider-Man back. It is that, but it's also the whole universe, right? Like there is no question that you would do anything to undo the thing that just happened, because it's on a scale never before seen. And so what decisions do you make? What interesting adventures do you have? How do you fight somebody who has the power of a god or the gods? And, you know, they will figure that out, and that will be an entertaining movie. And presumably at the end, they will make the sacrifices necessary to give us the big happy ending that we were denied this year, which I think is fun. I think it's a bold move from them. I really appreciate that Marvel made a movie that has a downer ending. That is, you know, they're risk takers, and I love it. Then they did it with their biggest franchise, which I think is pretty cool. And in the end, I think it will make the satisfaction of the next movie that much more.
Yeah.
That people who are grumpy and grumbly about now.
Yeah.
That's right. But next year, we'll get Thanos will get his comeuppance, presumably.
It's way better they did this than like leave it on a cliffhanger. Right, because the movie could have ended with him clicking his fingers, right? Like that could have been the end of the movie.
Exactly. Or it could have just been everybody lined up against Thanos, and he's like, and standing between him and the Vision. He's like, I want that thing in the Vision's head. And they're like, well, you're going to have to come through us, dun, 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 continued next year.
That's not what they did. Because both of those things are satisfying endings in their own right, right? Like they, you know, you're like, oh, I can't wait for the next one, right? Doing its actual job, right? Like if you see one of those two things we just posed, you're going to be like, oh, I can't wait to see what happens in the kind of typical way. But this is like, oh no, wait, you're gonna watch half of your favorite characters turn into dust slowly, right? Like they didn't even all happen at once, right? Like you were watching the Guardians go one by one, right? Like there's like a 5-minute scene of you watching people die, right? And the reactions of the people around them who are left. And that is incredibly powerful, right? Like it was like I came out of the theater and I was like, I don't even know if I like that movie, right? Like it's kind of how I felt initially. It was like, I don't know how I feel because it was super sad. And I would say that, like, on reflection, this isn't my favorite Marvel movie. It's probably in my top five. It's not my favorite Avengers movie. The original Avengers, I think I enjoyed more just because, like, that movie should never have happened. And, like, and if you were enjoying that stuff then, it was like how, you know, like, it was so impactful. But I really, really like this movie a lot, like a lot. And it is going to rank very highly for me in my kind of overall rankings of, we should do a draft one day, of Marvel movies. But I don't think it's top three for me. But I did really, really like it. It exceeded my expectations, I would say.
Yeah, I don't know where to rank it either, but I liked it a lot. I feel like the Everybody Gets Together movies are just need to be judged separately. So Avengers, Age of Ultron, Civil War, and this movie are like, they're different movies from all the other movies. These are the coalescing, you know, you really need to know who these characters are from other movies for it to really work, I think. And they have a higher degree of difficulty to make them because you've got to keep track of all these characters. So they fit in there. And where it ranks in there, I don't know. That's worth thinking about. I'm planning on revisiting all of these movies. This is as good a place as any, I guess, to make a minor announcement, which is if you like listening people talk about Marvel movies, I am toying with, it's not 100% set in stone, but I am thinking seriously about having this summer's run of The Incomparable be the Summer of Marvel, where we cover every Marvel movie that we have not yet covered on the show. And there are a lot of them, so it will take all summer. And as part of that, I also want to do some revisiting of the Avengers movies.
Jason, I think you should just do all of them. Like,
we've done some of them already.
It's different panels.
So well, I don't know. I mean, also the summer isn't that long, but there are some movies like I want to do Iron Man and Iron Man 2. I want to do Thor and Thor 2. I don't like Thor 2. I want to talk about the first Captain America movie, which we never did an episode about, which I love.
Okay, you've got a lot of really important ones to do.
Ant-Man, Doctor Strange, Thor Ragnarok. Haven't talked about any of those. So
maybe I could finally make my first Incomparable appearance in one of those.
That would be nice.
Imagine that. Imagine
maybe
that.
So.
I hope you do that. There's a lot in there. You don't need to do revisits. You've got a lot of really... I didn't even know you hadn't covered some of those, like,
initial
ones. So there's a lot to go. You should totally do it. It'd be fun. be fun. Chronologically, yeah, I think it'd be great. I'd love
some more Marvel.
Incomparable.com, that's where you can find all that stuff. Yeah, I think we both really like this movie enough that I'm going to see it again. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I am too. Hey, we should go see it together.
That would be great, wouldn't it?